Leif with List on City Cafe, the Liebestraum No. 3, A Dream of Love by Franz Liszt. Leif Ove Andsnes at the keyboard. This is City Cafe. I'm John Lemley. Tomorrow night, Atlanta's William Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum, in collaboration with the Atlanta Opera, will present a program of music by Kurt Weill as part of the Molly Blank concert series at the museum. Gerald Steichen, music director of Ballet West in Salt Lake City, Utah, and principal pops conductor of the Utah Symphony, will serve as pianist and host, joined in the performance by three singers. Jerry Steichen joined me in the studio earlier this week. He was joined by Corey Lipiello, the Atlanta Opera's Director of Artistic Planning and Community Engagement. The better part of our conversation centered on how Weill's Broadway music was sculpted by his formative years in Berlin before his voluntary exile in 1933. I asked Jerry if it's possible to actually hear the Berlin influence in the music that he wrote after coming to the States.
Well, it's interesting because Bertolt Brecht and their collaboration, there's always a driving rhythm that always has kind of a wrong note in it. And you hear that in his early Broadway work. And then what he did was he incorporated all different styles. So as he became more immersed in American music and American jazz and syncopation, his music here subtly changed. So you still hear rhythms, but they're more jazz inspired rather than hard driving. You also hear him not turning his back, but turning a corner from classical music into more popular idioms. So you definitely hear that as his Broadway shows continue.
There were many back home, so to speak, that thought Weill had sold out.
And especially since he kept doing theater music, everyone was like, you're a serious composer. You need to be continuing to compose serious music. And he said, no, theater is the most important voice for change.
And I think that's very important to note, that I think one of the things that he did take with him from Germany, from his experiences there, was the idea that music of any kind has this incredibly powerful possibility of communicating to a wide swath of people. Because it works on both the overt and the visceral level, it has this potential to affect people in a way that no other kind of art form really can. And I think he was very aware of that, and he used it very effectively and very subtly, so that some of the more protest music of the 20s and early 30s gives way to a slightly more popular sort of Broadway kind of idiom. But if you look at the messages behind the pieces and the themes of the shows, there's a lot of work that he did it's about change, and it's about culture, and it's about people and their relationships. It sounds very simplistic to say that, you know, he was so affected by the experience in Germany that he never stopped writing protest music. But in fact, that's true. Even when it was Ava Gardner on film, say, One Touch of Venus,
there's still
always that element there, which may be more subtle in some other shows than others. But, you know, one of his last works was this adaptation of Cry the Beloved Country, which he did with Maxwell Anderson, called Lost in the Stars. And it's an incredibly political piece and really has a beautiful, beautiful melody at the same time with this underlying message that's really, it's quite stunning to see the marriage of those two things.
Now a man don't mind if the stars grow dim and the clouds blow over and darken him, so long as the Lord God's watching over them, keeping track how it all goes on.
People hear that song and think it's a beautiful, you know, it's part of the American songbook. It's really a standard. And yet, when you know that the character who's singing the song, it's about racial divide in this country and about a man who has killed a black man who has killed a white man who was actually a big supporter of racial integration, and the fact that he was killed by a black man, and it's about the black community making peace with what this man has done and still accepting and supporting him, and about the white community actually finding forgiveness. And so it's this beautiful piece, and you listen to the song, and if you know what the story is, it's actually a song about integration. And for him to write that at the end of the 1940s, that was a pretty shocking subject to put into a Broadway musical.
Little stars, big stars, blowing.
Gerald Steichen, music director of Ballet West in Salt Lake City and principal pops conductor of the Utah Symphony, along with Corey Lipiello, the Atlanta Opera's director of artistic planning and community engagement. They join me to talk about composer Court Vile, whose music is featured at 7:30 tomorrow night at Atlanta's Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum. For more information about Berlin to Broadway, you can visit thebremen.org or call 678-222-3700. I'm John Lemley, and this is City Cafe.
Emory University's Carlos Museum is pleased to present African Cosmos Stellar Arts, a major exhibition from the Smithsonian's National Museum of African Art, January 31st through June 21st. This is the first major exhibition exploring the historical legacy of African cultural astronomy and its intersection with traditional and contemporary African art.